Palm Sunday. Next week is Easter or Passover. And, you know, Palm Sunday has a lot of significance, you know, if you really kind of understand what all's going on there. And, you know, I'm going to talk about that a little bit today. And just praise the Lord. If I can get this thing hooked on me here. There we go. All set. Praise the Lord. I'll pause for a word of prayer before we get started here. Father, in the name of Jesus, that name above all names, we thank you, Lord, that we can call upon the name of the Lord. And you said anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Father, we call upon your name today. Let your salvation just flow through your people and out of your people everywhere they go, that there'll be an extension of that great salvation that you are, because we know that you dwell inside of each one of us. And I ask you to have your way. I give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor for what you're going to do here today. I thank you for your words, for truly they are spirit in their life. And I ask you to give us all ears to hear what your spirit speaks to our hearts today, and that we not only be hearers of this word, but we go forth and be doers of this word. And Father, we'll be most careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, because you alone are worthy of it all. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, I'm going to try to read this to you because I made it in pretty big print today without my glasses. I think they're kind of dirty anyway. I didn't clean them up this morning, so I'd probably be seeing fingerprints in there. But like I say, the title to the sermon today is Palm Sunday. You know, and 6 days before the Passover, I'm going to start reading in John 12:12 through 15. 6 days before the Passover, on the next day, much people were come to the feast when they heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem, and took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna. And Hosanna means, O save. That's what it means, O save. Blessed is the King of Israel that comes in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereupon, as it is written, Fear not, daughters of Zion, behold, thy king cometh sitting on an ass, ass's colt. And I believe that's probably in Hosea, that scripture. But he was fulfilling even that scripture. And you know, Jesus came to fulfill all the scriptures. And he fulfilled pretty much all of them. But the ones that he's still fulfilling are the ones that need to be fulfilled inside of us. You know. And he said, it says in other places, it said and I'll read it in the next verse I'm going to read. Other places in scriptures whereupon a man had never sat, you know. And, you know, when I was growing up, I had a chance to go to my Uncle Fred's house. Uncle Fred had horses. He had two horses. He had Trigger and Champ. And I've told you before, Uncle Fred was a Roy Rogers fan. And Trigger was a golden palomino. And when Uncle Fred bought him, he was white. He was just a little colt, and he was white. But I don't think they even knew that he was going to turn, you know, the golden color. But anyway, Uncle Fred loved that horse. But he was kind of about the only one that could really control that horse real good. That horse was real high spirited, and sometimes he didn't want to do what you wanted him to do. But he always did what Uncle Fred wanted him to do, because if he didn't, Uncle Fred get down and give him a whipping. Which is, you know, I mean, you know, sometimes with horses, you got to be a little bit tough with them. They have to realize that you're the boss. But anyway, the other horse's name was Champ, and he was a pinto, and he was my cousin's horse, you know. So I got to be around horses a little bit, you know, in the summertime. I used to go up there and spend a couple weeks in the summer, just about every summer. And my cousin Freddie was 11 months younger than me, so we were real close in age, and we were almost more like brothers than me and my brother were, you know. And anyway, but I got to see horses, and I knew how they reacted and what they did and that kind of thing. And, you know, Uncle Fred, you know, he took us out and showed me how to shoot a gun. For Uncle Fred, he had a .22 rifle, single action, and, you know, he let us shoot guns and do stuff that guys do, you know. And anyway, so, you know, I had a real fine feeling for Uncle Fred. He was one of my only uncles that ever took any kind of interest in me. You know, my mother had quite a few brothers, and none of them ever did anything with me and Wiley as we were growing up. My dad died when I was 4. But Uncle Fred, somebody told me that Uncle Fred had been in an orphanage for a while or something. So he understood what it was, you know, to not have a father, you know. And but anyway, you know, so I kind of understood about horses. And I'm going to go ahead and read to you out of Mark 11, 1 through 10. And it says, "And when they had come nigh unto Jerusalem, unto Bethpage, unto Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth his 2 disciples. And he saith unto them, Go your way to the village over against you, and as soon as you are entered into it, you shall find a colt tied up, whereupon a man never sat." Now, I don't know if you watch any cowboy movies or not, but anytime and it says colt here, and in other places it was a ass or a donkey, you know, which it really was more a donkey than it was a actual horse, but it was a colt. And anyway, I don't know if you ever watched many cowboy movies, but if a horse or a animal has never been sat upon, it don't want you sitting on it. I mean, and it will do everything it can to get you off its back. And, you know, I think there's a lot of truth here if we really realize what the Lord is saying here. But when they brought it, and I'll go ahead and read the rest of it, it says, and when he entered into it, they find a colt whereupon a man never sat. Loose him and bring him here. And if any man say unto you, Why do you do this? Say, The Lord hath need of him. And straightway he will send him hither. And they went their way, and they found a colt tied by the door without in a place where 2 ways met. And they loosed him. Now I want you to know I like that scripture about 2 ways. Because there's always 2 ways. You know that? In everything, there's always 2 ways. There's your way and God's way. 2 ways. There's always 2 ways. You can choose which way you go. And if you're smart, you choose God's way. If you're not, you go the hard way. And, you know, if you look at that, those places where they were, Bethpage and Bethany, Bethpage was a place, it was house of figs. And it was house of unripened figs. And sometimes in our life, you know, we're supposed to have the fruit of the Spirit. Once we receive the Holy Spirit, we're supposed to have the fruit of the Spirit. And I believe all Christians have it, from the youngest Christian to the oldest Christian that's been a Christian for a long time. But I will tell you, it's not always ripe fruit. And I've told you stories about when I was a kid, next door to me, they had a little vineyard thing. They didn't do anything with it, but they didn't care if you ate the grapes. When the grapes got ripe, they would have been purple grapes, you know. And I think at one time somebody probably used to make wine out of them. I don't know, because a lot of people used to do that. Because I used to live in Mount Auburn on going up Sycamore Hill there when I was growing up. And that was kind of a German, there was a lot of German, old German people living around over in there. But anyway, you know, I love grapes, and to this day, grapes is my favorite fruit. And any time that the price goes down in grapes, Margaret's always brings me home a big bunch of grapes. And she loves me so much that she washes them and picks them all off of the thing and puts them in a bowl. I don't even have to pick them. Boy, she loves me a lot. She does. She does some beautiful things for me, you know. And I pop them like candy. You know, I just eat them, and I love them. I love grapes. It's my favorite fruit. But anyway, I'd climb over that fence a lot of times. And, you know, in the springtime, that vine would flower. And it was an old vine. It had been there for a long time. It would flower, and then all of a sudden you'd see the little green grape, little small green grape form, and it'd get bigger and bigger and bigger. And because I liked grapes so much, I'd try to eat the green ones once in a while, and it was purple grapes. And there's nothing as sour as a unripened grape. And I've often told Margaret that sometime the grape police is going to get her when we go to the grocery store, because she won't buy grapes unless she tastes one. And I told her, I said, well, honey, if everybody tasted one, there wouldn't be none there. She says, I'm not buying them things if they're not good. And she'll eat one, you know, and she'll say, that's not very good. And I always tell her, are you sure? She says, well, it's kind of sour. I say, well, why don't you get it anyway? Sometimes I eat the kind of soury ones. I like grapes that much. But anyway, you know, I'd spit that thing out, and you know, and I don't know why, but almost every year I'd still try them green ones when them things come back as I was growing up, because I did like grapes so much. You know, but if I waited to the fullness of time, and when sun had been out for a long time and everything on up into the summer a little bit, they'd start turning purple. And then I'd go over and I'd gorge on the grapes, you know, because I really liked them. And they didn't care. I knew the people that lived in that house, you know, and they didn't do anything with them, so they didn't care. So anyway, I loved grapes and I would eat them. So Bethpage is a place of, it means house of figs, and it means unripened figs. And the other place, Bethany, had the meaning of, it kind of had the meaning of like places where there was tribulation and problems and all this other stuff. And you know, there's always kind of two ways. You can go the way of the tribulation and the problems and all that, and let them get the best of you, or you can go the way of the fig house. Now, just because you're walking with the Lord don't mean everything's sweet all the time, because it's not. And it don't mean that all your brothers and sisters that you come in contact with are going to taste real sweet when you take a bite out once in a while of them. You find out sometimes, whoa, that was sour. But remember, there's fruit there, even though it's unripened fruit. And give it the fullness of time and let the sun shine on it enough, the S-O-N, sun, from the inside out. And eventually it's going to be beautiful, tasty fruit, you know. But anyway, there's that place where two ways meet. And it said, and when they had found the colt tied by the door within the place where two ways met, they loosed him. And a certain of them stood there and said unto them, what do you, loosing the colt? In other words, what are you doing, taking my colt? That's basically what they said to him. And they said unto him, even as Jesus had commanded. And when they told him that the Lord has need of him, and they let him go. You know, God's got people in every situation and every circumstance that you get in, who if you're doing what he's telling you to do, they will facilitate you being able to do it. I mean, they will, you know. And anyway, you know, Margaret was telling you about that lady. And what was her name again, Margaret? I have terrible time remembering people's names. Carmen. Okay. She was telling you about Carmen. We was at Carmen there the other day, and I felt like we should give Carmen some money. So we talked to this one lady that's in McDonald's named Catherine. Sweet lady. I mean, she just funny, laughs all the time. She reminds me of Joey, you know, and Debbie, because she just laughs all the time. Is always having you know, every time you tell her something that's a little bit funny, she just laughs and carries on. And she's a really great worker. I mean, she keeps that place spotless, you know. And it isn't like she fools around. And you know, so we gave her some money to give to Carmen, you know. And she, next day, I didn't want her tell Carmen that it was us that gave her the money. You know, I just wanted her to give her some money because I felt like I was supposed to do that. Well, you know, next day we came in and Carmen was there, and she works in the back. She doesn't ever work out in the front. So I guess she talked Catherine into telling her who gave her the money, you know. So she comes out and she just gave Margaret a big hug, and she gave me a big hug, and I didn't expect any of that or anything. But you know, you could tell she was really appreciative. And you know, she probably has some tremendous needs. And I mean, the money we gave her probably helped a little bit, but I'm sure she needs way beyond that, you know, because her husband had been in the hospital for, 12, 14 days, whatever it was, you know. And, but anyway, I'm saying all that to just to tell you that a lot of times God puts you in situations. It feels like I'm fading out up here for some reason. Something go wrong? All right. Anyway, it got better when you moved that. Anyway, so he always meets you in a place where two ways meet, your way and his way. I'm going to tell you, choose his way. It might not always be sweet, and a lot of times we sort of do young Christians a disfavor at times, because we talk about being so wonderful and so glorious and so, and we don't tell them that, yeah, there's still going to be tribulation, there's still going to be problems, everything ain't going to be hunky-dory all the time, you know, but God's with you and meets you in all those situations and all those circumstances if you just trust him. But anyway, as we go on here, it says, and they said unto him, even as Jesus had commanded them, and they let them go, and they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, that's on the colt, and he sat upon him. Now, when they cast their garments upon him, I'm getting an echo now, when they cast their garments upon him, you know, your garment is your covering. And we sing a song, or we haven't sang it for a while, but we used to sing it all the time. And somebody needs to write some of these songs, the verses to these songs down. I'm not real good at that. So we can give them to Frankie so he can learn some of these songs. So some of them are really spiritual, really good songs. And that song is, I have put on my garment of praise. I have put on my garment of praise. And the spirit of heaviness shall fall from me. I have put on my garment of praise. Now, I want you to know that the reason that Jesus was able to ride that wild ass, that wild thing, was because the garments, they took their garments off and put them upon the wild thing. Now, I'm going to tell you, every one of us, and I don't care who you are sitting out there or who's listening or who hears it, you got a wild ass in you somewhere. And that, I'm not cussing when I say that. I mean, you have a wild nature inside of you that is that old Adamic nature. And it still tries to stick its head up every now and then. And it still tries to buck you off and still tries to do everything. But if you, when you feel that thing rising up in you, and I told back in Sunday school, I was talking about, I had some fiber optic cable put in my house the other day. And the guy set it up a little bit, but he didn't set it up all the way. Well, I've got different computers, and all my televisions work off of Wi-Fi and all that. Well, he didn't get everything set up completely. So usually I can fiddle around and figure out how to do that stuff. Well, he got done at 6 o'clock, and I got done at 5 o'clock the next morning. I finally got it all working. But what I found out was, is I felt like he hadn't really turned in that he had completed the job, and all of the codes I was putting in there and everything I was doing to make it work kept not working. And then the computer would come back and say, make a stronger password. And I'd change the password. Not good enough, make another stronger password. And I kept doing all this stuff, and I was doing this almost all night long. And finally I got up and I got disgusted, and I was pretty upset. And I didn't cuss a blue streak, but I sure felt like it. I might have said one or two words that I shouldn't have. I was pretty aggravated, I'll tell you. And I went upstairs, and I laid down, and Margaret could see I was fretting. Well, she didn't go to sleep either. And then I finally said, I got to get back up. I said, I can't go to sleep. And I went downstairs, and I kept telling the Lord, help me with this thing. You know, well, about 5 o'clock in the morning, whatever he had finally, his... whatever he had told him he had accomplished must have went through, because I went back to the very first things that I put in there and everything started gradually working. So I had to go to every computer and set them up, and we got about four different computers, and we got four or five televisions. We got a television in almost every room. And I had to go to those digital televisions and set them up to where they would work with that Wi-Fi. So anyway, so I went upstairs about 5 o'clock in the morning, and I spoke to Margaret, and she was just dead asleep. I mean, I told her, and I went ahead and turned that TV on and set it up where it was working and turned it back off. Well, she had some music playing. She had a CD and the music thing playing. And I told her later on, I came up later on after she finally woke up, and I told her, I said, did you turn the TV on? And she says, it don't work. I says, yeah, it works. I said, I came up last night, and I said, I fixed it about 5 o'clock in the morning. And I told her, I said, I figured either you was sleeping or you was dead. I said, because I kept saying, Margaret, because I didn't want to startle you. And I said, I thought, well, if you was dead, I was just going to leave you alone till later. I said, I didn't know what to do. So, but anyway, I got it. I did get it fixed. But that's the aggravation. We all go through all these aggravating things sometimes. And just because you're a Christian don't mean you're not going to get aggravated. Don't mean you're not going to have problems. Don't mean that wild area is going to kick up a little bit in you once in a while, because it does. And when it does, it wants to buck you off. Now, what we need to do, which I really didn't do that night, because I should have started praising the Lord and shouting the victory and all that stuff, and maybe that would have made a difference. I don't know. But anyway, I finally did get everything running. But anyway, let's pick back up with this. It says, certain of them stood there and said unto them, what do you, loosing the colt? And he said unto them, even as Jesus had commanded, and they let him go. And he brought the colt to Jesus, and they cast their garments, and he sat upon them. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off of trees and strawed them in the way. And they not only cut down branches off of trees, but they literally cut down palm branches off of palm trees. And it says that in other portions of Scripture. And they went before him, and they were that followed, crying, Hosanna! Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And I love that portion of Scripture right there. Hosanna means, oh, save, okay? And when he says Hosanna in the highest, let's take a look at what the meaning of the rest of those words are. Hosanna literally means, oh, save. And in the highest, the word in, it's literally a word that it means, it's a fixed position in place, time, or state. And the highest means, the literal translation of that word in the Hebrew or the Greek is to be open, wide, and free. Wow. That's what we need, folks. And when we open ourselves up to the Lord in every situation, wide and free, what will happen is that His Spirit can come in. You know, there's a psalm that says, lift up your head, ye gates. Lift up your head, you everlasting doors. And who'll come in? The King of Glory, mighty in power, and so on and so forth. And it doesn't say that one time. It says it about three different times. And you know, when it says that three different times, it's saying that what's going to happen there, first you're going to maybe say it in the realm of the flesh. Then you're going to begin to say it in the realm of the soul. And then it's going to move on up into the realm of the Spirit. And the King of Glory will come in, and He's mighty in power. And there's no power that can stand before Him. And you know, I love that it literally means to open me up wide and free. And that's really the high places in God. And how do we get there? You know, we talk about praise, and a lot of times, you know, if I've heard one sermon about praise since I've been in this church, including the ones that I've shared, I've probably heard hundreds of them. I've probably heard it mentioned hundreds of times. But when we come together sometimes, we're so self-absorbed or so self, I don't know how to put it, the exact word. In other words, we're so self-conscious that we don't open up and praise God and let go. And I'm going to tell you what, it was kind of funny. Margaret sent you that little video, Brenda, with that little boy that was preaching. It was a funny video. Margaret showed it to me. I said, you should send that to Brenda. And this little boy, he's practicing preaching, I guess. And his mother in the background, she starts hollering, hallelujah, or praise the Lord, or something like that, real loud. He turns around, he says, now you need to calm down some, or something like that. I thought, oh Lord, this is like a preacher to tell you to calm down. I'm not going to tell you to calm down. I'm going to tell you to let loose. Let the Lord do, praise God as much as you want when you're in here. And you know, a lot of times we think in praising the Lord, we think, well, gosh, if somebody starts praising the Lord, or they get a little loud, or they start getting a little happy or something, we think, well, they're being soulish. You know, you've heard people say that, haven't you, over the years? They're being soulish. What did David say? Bless the Lord, what? Oh, my what? Oh, my soul and all that's within me. And I'm going to tell you what, you don't bless him with your soul, you won't be able to bless him with your spirit, with the spirit. The soul will open the door to the spirit realm, because when you start blessing him in your soul, it opens up the heavenly realms. And the anointing of God can really begin to flow in. Okay, my next scripture is Ezekiel 41, 17 through 20. And this is in Ezekiel's, when he was talking about building Ezekiel's temple here. He was describing what it was like. And Ezekiel's temple was never really built. Okay? Now, I know that sounds funny, but I don't think they'd think that his actual temple was ever really built. So this Ezekiel's temple is really a type of the heavenly temple, okay? So I want you to listen to this now. And it says here in verse 17, and it do you good to go back and read that whole chapter, you know, there. Ezekiel 41, read that whole chapter sometime and just pray about it and let the Lord deal with you about it. But anyway, it says, to that above the door, even to the inner house, and without, and by all walls, and round about, within and without by measure, and it was made with cherubims and palm trees, so that the palm trees was between a cherubim, and every cherub had two faces. Now, I want to tell you what cherubim and cherub means, and I've told you this, I've mentioned it sometimes before. It means imaginary figure. Imaginary figure. Now, it's not a little bitty. When you see a cherub, when they do it in little paintings, it's usually a little bitty kid with wings and looks like got a little halo and maybe a harp or something. That's not what a cherub is. The meaning of that word is imaginary figure. Now, I'll explain as I go along here. And it says, and it says, the palm trees, and it means imaginary figure, cherub or cherubim. So that the face of a man, this is what the two faces was, had two faces. So that the face of a man, and the word for man there is Adam, was toward the palm tree on one side, looking in one direction. And the face of a young lion looking in the other direction. And there's a palm tree, they're in between a palm tree. And those were all around the inner wall of the temple. Okay, now let's talk about that a little bit. And it says, on one side, the face of a man and the face of a young lion, okay, young lion, toward the palm tree on the other side. And it was made through all the house, round about. Now, Adam's name means ruddy, human being, an individual, or species of mankind, elect. It means another. What did God say? I'll not give my what? Glory to another. He's not going to give it to Adam. If you want to function in Adam, you better forget it. You're not going to experience the glory, because he's not going to give it to another. It means hypocrite. And how many times do you find, even sometimes when you find yourself walking in dual nature, you find yourself being a hypocrite about something? Because you'll tell somebody, well, you shouldn't do that. And then tomorrow you find yourself doing exactly what you told that person they shouldn't have done. And guess what? That's the Adam nature, the hypocrite nature. Common sort, low man, means a low degree person, a man of low degree. That's who Adam was. Okay. Now, God named Adam. Adam didn't name Adam. God did. So, name is synonymous with nature and synonymous with character. Okay. And anytime, that's why you need to be careful what you name your kids and what you name something when it's happening, because it'll be that thing that you name it a lot of times. You need to be careful about that. Okay. And let's read a little farther. And from the ground unto above the door were cherubims and palm trees made on all the walls. And the thing for palm trees, I was looking into some of my reference stuff, and it literally says, these trees of life, as some think, these palm trees were considered to be trees of life. Now, if you put Adam, if you put the cherubim in between a palm tree and a palm tree, and one is facing the palm tree, that would be Adam, the first one. He would be facing the palm tree on his way his face is turned. He's looking back at the tree of life. Now, we know that Adam was put out of the garden except he take and eat of the tree of life. He ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, but except he eat of the tree of life, they said, put him out of the garden and put them cherubim there, the imaginary figure. Imagination, which tells you you can't go back. You're not good enough. God don't love you enough. You did something bad yesterday. All those things like that. Imagination tells you all those things constantly. Even if you pull out of here and you pull out into the street and somebody almost runs on top of you and almost hits you, and you say a cuss word because you're so mad, you think, that dummy, he almost killed me or something. And then all of a sudden you're thinking, uh-oh, you know, I shouldn't have said that. Well, your imagination tells you, and then you come to church the next day and you're sitting out in the thing and Oscar's telling you, boy, you should be praising the Lord. You should be rejoicing. You should be happy. And you're thinking, yeah, but man, you don't know what I did yesterday. And I actually had a person come to me one time that wanted to speak in the church, this person. And I was just about ready to let them speak in the church. You know, they hadn't never asked me or anything. But they started telling me they were jealous of other people that spoke in the church. And I started thinking, that's not a criteria for me to open up the door to let you speak because of jealousy, you know. And anyway, they said to me concerning another person who I had let speak, if you knew what that person was doing on Saturday night, you would never let them get in the pulpit. And I'm thinking, no, that is not going to get you a place in the pulpit. Because you should be covering the nakedness of your brother. You should be praying for that one. You know, if God opens an opportunity for them to share, God will deal with their heart. If they're not right about something, he'll straighten it out. But that was just trying to get me to not let that other person speak because they were going to speak. I don't think it's fair, you know, they were telling me. This is years and years ago, a long time ago. Adam nature. Hypocrite, man of low degree, you know, common sort, another. He'll not give his glory to another. Praise God. Anyway, and then on the other side, you had the young lion. And he's looking forward to the tree of life. One's looking behind, one's looking forward. What does the scripture say about Jesus? Who was he? He was the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And the lion, we used to sing that song too, shall break every band and give to us what? The victory again and again and again. And the agains keep going if you wanted to say it as many times as you wanted to. And I'm just telling you, that was a type of Jesus Christ. And it was a type of, literally, of the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And this is all on the inner walls of the temple, okay? Ezekiel's temple. Now let me tell you a little bit more here. Young lion. Here's what the meaning of that is. And this is the root of that word. Not the word itself, but the root of that word. It's a primitive root. It means to cover with butmen. Now here's what that means. To expatiate or condone, to placate, to cancel, to appease, to make an atonement, to cleanse, to disannul, to forgive, to be merciful, to pacify. That's exactly what Jesus did when he came, didn't he? He did all that. He disannulled. He disannulled your old sinful nature. He disannulled everything that you've done in the past that you felt like you sinned. He took on the sins of the whole world. He forgave you everything. He showed you the mercifulness of God. He pacified the relationship of you and God together. You ever see a little baby crying and crying and crying, and they got that milk, and then you ain't got no milk to give them, and what do? You stick a what in their mouth? A pacifier. And what does that do? All of a sudden they shut up and they just... They don't realize they ain't getting anything out of it, but they just needed something to think they was going to get something there. But to pardon, to purge away, to put off, to make reconciliation. That's exactly what Jesus was doing. Scripture tells you that Jesus was in God, reconciling the world unto himself, doing what? Not imputing their trespasses. Okay? So you've got these two types of figures in Ezekiel's temple. The one's looking forward, the other one's looking backwards. Okay? And it's I'm going to read you the rest of that. And it's in 1 Corinthians 3:16. I'm going to read this to you. And when you think I'm talking about Ezekiel's temple up here, I'm really not. I'm talking about you. Know you not, and this is 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know you not, you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. So in this type and shadow here of Ezekiel's temple, all of this is taking place inside of you. That imaginary figure that I was talking to you about is, you imagine that when you do something bad, you can't approach God. Maybe you shouldn't go to church Sunday because if everybody knew what I was doing, they wouldn't want me here. Just like that woman, or that, I shouldn't even said that. Just like that person said to me, you know, if you knew what that guy was doing, you would never let him get in the pulpit Saturday night. Well, I said, I didn't ask her what they was doing. I didn't want to know what they was doing, you know, because I'm not going to judge people. But what I did know by listening to her, she was not ready to get into the pulpit. She had no business up there because her motivations were not that God was speaking to her heart. It was jealousy. And jealousy is not something that should ever get you anywhere in God. It won't get you anywhere. Okay? I'm going to read you one more scripture here, and then I'm going to close. Praise the Lord. This is Isaiah. Let's see if I can read this without any glasses. Isaiah 60. I'm going to read you the first verse. It says, arise and shine, for the light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Now, let's go with verse 18. And this is talking about, literally about the temple again, pretty much. It's talking about you, really, is what it's talking about. It said, violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders. But thou shalt call thy walls salvation, and thy gates praise. So I'm going to tell you, if you want the King of Glory to come in, start praising him. Start praising him when you don't feel like praising him. Start praising him in situations, not because of the situation, but because of who he is in the situation. He is your ever-present help in time of need. He is your fortress. He is your high tower. He is all the things that David said about him in the book of Psalms. You know, and if you'll start praising him in all those situations, you'll find that he'll begin to lift you into a higher realm, into a heavenly place. You know, when Jesus got on that colt or that ass, and they first, before he got on there, they put their garments on there. And I'm going to tell you, I believe they were putting their, in type and shadow, they were putting their garments of praise on it. And like I say, it's wild. Man can't sit on it. Man can't ride it. You can't ride it. Adam couldn't ride it. Took Jesus to ride it, okay? The last Adam. And when they put their garments upon it, then he sat upon it. And he rode it right into Jerusalem. But also, not only that, they begin to cast their garments in front of it. And they begin to cast palm leaves in front of it. So what happened when they did that? That thing was not any longer walking on an earthly realm. It was walking upon the praises of God. And it had no power on the earth. Okay? And I'm going to tell you what. When we will put on our garment of praise and let the spirit of heaviness fall from us, then the King of Glory will come in. And he'll ride even the wild areas in our lives. The areas that we don't have any control over, the areas that we feel like, oh God, is that thing still in my life? You know, is that attitude, that motivation, that whatever still in my life? And I'm going to tell you what, if you'll start praising him even in the midst of that thing and say, God, I praise you because you're King of Kings, you're Lord of Lords, you're the Lord of Glory, come in and ride that area because you can ride it when nobody else can. Praise God. Well, that's all I had to share with you today. That's your Palm Sunday sermon for the day. So if you all stand, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Now, I would sing you this song, but I don't think I could sing it very good. So I don't know. Joey, would you come up and sing for me? Can you sing Hosanna? Do you remember it? Charlene, do you remember the song Hosanna? Somebody remember the song? Where you sing Hosanna, Hosanna to the King, Hosanna. You don't remember that one? Okay. Okay. I can remember some of the words, but I'm not going to torture you with my singing. Okay. But anyway, we'll just go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll just close in a word of prayer then. Okay, let's do that one. Who wants to come and lead us in that? I have put my garment of praise. I have put on my garment of praise. And the spirit of heaviness shall fall from me. I have put on my garment of praise. We have put on our garment of praise. We have put on our garment of praise, and the spirit of heaviness fall from me. I have put on my garment of praise. Praise the Lord. Well, we will close with that. And please. Yeah, we're going to pray for Brenda. So Brenda, you can just come on down whenever you want to, and we'll pray for you. And anybody that wants to come and pray for Brenda, feel free to come on down. And we're going to pray that God do something special for that hernia. If he does chooses not to heal her right now, that he gives us some surgeon the skill to take care of it, if that's what he wants to happen. And anyway. Huh? Yeah. Well, we'll dismiss right after we pray for you, okay? Praise God. You know, I believe that when a lot of people gather together in prayer, the power intensifies.
Yes.
It magnifies. If one can put 1,000 to flight and 2, 10,000, then how many does 30 or 20 or whatever put, you know? So we're going to pray for you right now, Brenda. Father, in Jesus' name, we just ask you to touch our sister Brenda. You said the healing was the children's bread, and Father, we take you at your word. We ask you to dispense the bread of healing to our sister, the bread of life, Father, which is you. We know that you dwell inside of her. We ask you to rise with healing in your wings and to just touch her right now, Father, in Jesus' name, and just cause even healing to come to her, Father. If you decide to use a surgeon in anything in this, Father, then give the surgeon skill above and beyond even his capabilities, because Father, you can do that. And Lord, we'll give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. God bless you, sis.
Father, we thank you for the good report.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, people stood around when that first happened,
right?
And they heard 8 people speak. Right. Well, I think it was 10, but yet, 2 of them came forth, and I think one of them spoke.
Yes.
We're able.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. We're more than able.
Yes.
Yes.
And they gave a good report.
Amen.
God said, "This is the report I've been wanting to hear."
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
So we agree with Brenda and Buddy,
yes,
and the people that are around in this circle.
Mm-hmm. Yes, my God.
The good report,
you,
Father.
Lord.
We expect to hear from you.
Yes,
and you're on the throne. You do all things well.
Yes, Father.
And you complete everything you've ever started.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Anybody else want prayer that you're up here?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah, I just don't feel myself. I feel right. And
okay.
Only the Lord knows what's going on.
Praise you, Father. Amen. Father, we bring Buddy before you right now, Father.
Yes, Lord.
Let your strength be made perfect even in this weakness that he's feeling right now.
Amen.
And Father, even as your word declares, let the weak say, "I'm strong." And Father, right now, let Buddy begin to confess that he's strong because of you, because of your presence in his life. And Father, I just ask you that that anointing would rise in him right now. Just give him that strength that surpasses knowledge, that surpasses understanding. And Father, just let him begin to walk even with a greater invigoration of you, of your spirit.
Yes.
We give you the praise.
Yes.
We give you the glory.
Yes.
And we give you the honor.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus, thank you.
Buddy,
praise
the
God.
Strength of the Lord is his word.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And he imparts his word to you this day.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord.
Amen.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
Thank you, Father.
God bless you.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord.